Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of What's the Chinese Tea? I'm your host, Sammy, and I am glad to be back. First of all, you guys are so quick. You guys have been amazing. I mean, the feedback has been just so overwhelming, and I just really, really, really appreciate you guys for listening, tuning in. A lot of you guys said kind of the, you know, you appreciate the transparency that I am giving to you. You appreciate the Chinese word of the day. So I'm definitely going to take those two feedbacks into consideration the most. So each episode, I will have a Chinese word of the day. So that way, because I'm also learning Mandarin, you guys can also learn with me. Okay? 好的, which is okay. So this episode, we are actually going to get into what really happened my first 36 hours in China. I never really told anybody what happened. I just kind of said, you know, I'm here, I'm safe, I'm where I'm supposed to be. But I never really got into detail about what really actually happened. So if you guys want more on that tea, please stay tuned for What's the Chinese Tea. Okay, guys, so before we get started, if you haven't already, we are now on Spotify and Google. We are still waiting on Apple. So as soon as we get that Apple link, don't worry, I will be the first to blast it here for you guys to listen into Apple, because I know you guys are like, we want Apple, we want Apple. I want Apple too, sis, but it just hasn't happened yet. But we'll get into it. Anyways, so my first 36 hours in China, what happened? Oh, I don't even know where to start. Let's start with the ride to Chicago. So it was March 23rd, and I woke up. I was at my parents' house. I woke up. I had already packed, right? But I was so like OCD paranoid that I would forget something. So I literally hop in my car and I go to Big Lots, which if you're from the States, you might be familiar with that store. If not, if you're one of my Chinese listeners, Big Lots is the equivalent to like a Watson's or a Mini. Well, not as nice as Mini, so but more so like a Watson's. Very convenient. There's things in there. Grab and go. And so I pick up things that I don't need. I pick up gum. I pick up deodorant, like I didn't have enough deodorant. I pick up socks. I pick up a set of headphones that I've already had, okay? And I get home, and my mom and I get into an argument. Why are you spending money? Why are you spending extra money you don't need? Why are you still buying things? I was like, Mom, I don't want to forget anything. And we got into this little tiff, and I got upset, and I was just like, whatever. And so my older brother decides he's going to send me some, like, goodbye money through Cash App. Now, Cash App, for those of my Chinese listener, Cash App is like WeChat. You can send money through it. So I have the Cash App, like debit card that's associated with it. But that one day, I couldn't find it. Could not find it. So I'm like, and it was a good chunk of money. So I was like, what the hell? And so I have to call my little brother and I'm like, hey, let me Cash App you this money. And can you go to your ATM and then go ahead and give me the money just in cash? Y'all. It was like, oh my gosh. And so we get packed in the car. We're ready to go. We got like a 2-hour drive. And at this point, I feel nothing. I don't feel nervous. I don't feel tired. I don't feel excited. I just kind of feel blah, like it's another day. And so I get all the texts, you know, from everybody, all the Snapchats and everything, because I was snapping and everything. And so people were, you know, saying their goodbyes and, you know, safe travels, et cetera, et cetera. So it was like, okay, that's fine. I get to the airport, right? I get my two big ass bags and I roll it into the airport. We flew out of Chicago O'Hare, represent.
for my Midwest listeners. And so I get my ticket, I get my passport, and I go to the counter and I give them two bags. Now, it's supposed to be 50 pounds a piece, right? So it's like you get two check bags plus your carry-on and your personal item. Cool. My first bag is like 17 pounds. It's like, all right, cool. No, was it? No, was it 17? It was like, no. Was it? No, it had to be under 25. Excuse me, under 25 pounds. My bad. And so my bag was like 17 or 18 pounds or something like that. So the first bag was good. Y'all, this next bag that comes in. This next bag is like, homie, the what's his name? The gate agent weighs my bag. It's like 36 pounds. And he's looking at me like, and I'm looking like, oh my God. And he said, well, you can pay for the extra weight, which will be $200, or you can just move some of this weight to, you know, the other. So I'm in the middle of this airport, literally unzipping my bag, unpacking a lot of crap, shifting one sets of weights to another sets of weights. And I managed to get it down to like 20 something pounds. I think I got it to like 22 pounds. And he's like, okay, you're good. Meanwhile, my brother is making trips back and forth to the car to drop whatever ish I don't, you know, end up bringing. So I ended up leaving like a pair of boots. I end up leaving like lotion, extra soap. I end up leaving some of my boyfriend's stuff that I brought over. Because I'm just like, I'm not paying $200 for extra weight. Like, I'm not doing that. And so we get checked in. My mom, of course, she's crying. And I'm trying not to cry because I see her cry. And then I was like, you're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. So she gets to, you know, she's like, I miss you. Be safe. Da-da-da. You know how moms are. And so I go through security. And I'm like, I need to eat because I don't know how, like what this flight situation with food is about to be like. I flew China Eastern, never flew them before. Hell, never even heard of them. So I was like, oh, hell. And literally, you guys don't even understand. I had so much anxiety getting on that plane, and I've traveled before. But this time I had so much anxiety because literally, like, I think the week before was like the Ethiopian Airlines crashed 23 seconds in the air. And so my paranoia level to get on that plane was a nightmare. And so what do I do to get rid of my paranoia? I visit the local airport bar that was right next to my gate. But before I could do that, I was like, let me exchange money because I need Chinese money. So I go to the airport, which, pro tip, do not exchange money at the airport. The rates are crazy expensive. If you don't have to, don't. I wish I would have taken my own advice and actually exchanged money with my bank, but I just really just did not have the time. And so I changed my money to get some Chinese money, and then I go to the airport bar. I had a couple way too many drinks, and I was lifted, okay? My thought was, if I'm going to go, let me just go. It's not funny, but it's funny now, but then it was not funny. It's like, if I'm going to go, like, let me just be out of my brain type situation. So I was lifted, and I'm on the phone with my best friend, and she's crying, and we're in line. And this line to go to China was, so my flight was to go to Shanghai. So my flight was very diverse. And this is important for you guys to remember this story, is my flight was very diverse. There was white people. There were some black people. There was a lot of Middle Eastern folk. And so I was like, okay. But there was like a group of students who were, I think, coming from the local university to go to China, maybe for study abroad, maybe for vacation. I don't know. So I'm lifted. I'm sad. And I just like, let me just get on this plane. And so I get on the plane. and the aircraft is really nice. And I just remember praying and saying, God, if it's my time to go, you know, I'm going to, I literally prayed and repented and was like, I want to go to heaven, and I apologize for everything bad I've done on this earth. If it's my time, like, I literally, you guys don't even, like, my anxiety level was just like, phew, like, just really, really, you know, through the roof. And like I said before, usually traveling for me, like, I've never felt that level of anxiety before. Like, the only time I've ever felt that flying was my first time flying as an adult. And that was our group trip to New Orleans back in 2015. So ever since then, I kind of just been like, oh, it's just a plane, whatever. But this time it was very like, oh my God. And it was nonstop. There was no like, we're going to stop here, take a break. No, it was like nonstop. And so this was like a 14-hour flight from Chicago O'Hare to Shanghai Pudong, 14 hours straight nonstop. And I remember getting in my seat, and I sat next to this Chinese girl, and I sat next to a couple. And everybody in our row was pretty chill for the most part. And so we take off, and I'm not even kidding, y'all. I count 23 seconds because that's how long it took for the other airplane before it went. 23 seconds, and I count to 23 seconds. And I remember passing the 23 seconds, and I remember just having this sigh of relief that, whew. And I remember being like, I'm going to get anxious again once we cross the ocean. So I didn't really sleep as I slept, but then I didn't. And so I was just like, let's just do this. So I think I had some podcasts saved on my phone. I had some music, and I just really wanted to just kind of put my mind at ease. And so the meals came all sorts of backwards. I think we got like breakfast, but our flight was like at 2 p.m. What? I don't know. We got breakfast first. I don't know, but we got breakfast, lunch, and then dinner. And so I remember 7-8 hours into the flight, and I remember looking at the monitor to see where we were, and we were getting close to the ocean. And that's when my anxiety just went again, like through the roof. And I just remember being like, oh my God. And I remember just praying like, okay, let's just. And then it happened to be where the flight called, the captain on the flight says, we're experiencing a little turbulence. Y'all, when my like heart already was like, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh my Lord. And so he's like, just stay seated. Please stay in your seatbelt. And I felt the airplane shake. And I've been on turbulence, but this was like a different type. I remember feeling like, whoo, this doesn't feel good, right? And so I'm like, well, if it's about that time, it's about that time then. And he managed to sift through it, and we crossed over the oceans, and this is about 10-11 hours in. And then he gets on the intercom again. Mind you, it was a 14-hour flight, and he says, we will be in Shanghai in about an hour and a half. And I said, what the hell is this guy smoking? Like, it was so fast. Like, it was so fast, because I was like, 14 hours. Well, if it's already been 10 hours and some change, we're literally going to get to Shanghai like almost 2 hours early. And I said, holy shit. And literally, I'm like, we land. They give us custom cards. We fill out custom cards. We land, and we're taxiing for like 25 minutes. If y'all know who, like, people who have flown, you guys know once you land, you kind of just want to get off the plane. Everyone's getting restless. It's been a long flight. We are taxiing for almost 30 minutes because homie is like literally 2 hours early. We finally get a space, and when we booked this flight, I didn't have to recheck my bags. But because we got there so early, something had happened where we have to go get our bags from security and then recheck them. I'm like, oh my God. So we get off this flight and I'm like, you know, I don't see anything kind of like remotely interesting. I just remember it didn't hit me that I was in China. Like it literally did not. Something in me didn't feel like I just felt like I'm in China. I didn't feel like I was in China. I just felt like I'm somewhere else. So I get to collect my bags, and then my flight to Xi'an was not until 7 or 8 o'clock the next morning. And I thought I was going to be a thug and like sleep in the airport, but I definitely was like, I need a shower. I want to brush my teeth. I can't get fucking Wi-Fi. And so I attempt to buy a SIM card in the airport. The SIM card would not take on my phone. So I'm like, okay. So I was like, I just want a bed. I'm hungry. I'm exhausted. I just want to shower. Literally, I leave the place because I was like, well, maybe because they said, oh, we could check back early. So I thought, oh, let me just go ahead and check my bags and be done with it. I'm glad I didn't because people ended up losing their bags that way. So I'm glad I shifted my ass and took my bags. I literally leave and there's like scalpers literally for people to come stay at their hotel. Mind you, I'm like, okay, I'm going to just go ahead and try to get a hotel from one of these people, but I wasn't trying to, and I didn't know the conversion rate yet. I just knew it was like I said, I didn't know it like I know it now. I just kind of was like, I didn't have time to really like kind of just do the math in my head. And so I just knew I had the hundred kwai bills. And I'm just like, I don't want to spend a bunch. So I'm like, so this lady comes up to me and she's like, hello, spoke really good English. And she's like, we have a hotel that's 50, I think she said 10 minutes. What time it? Her hotel is about 10 minutes away from the airport, which was perfect for me because I didn't want to like scavenger out too much, get lost and, you know, whatever. And so she said, it's going to be about 300 kwai, which is at the time was equivalent, if my math serves me right, so I have $50. I think it's like $50. So I was like, okay, cool, whatever. It's about 15 minutes away. I said, oh, that's perfect. So I, you know, she said you could pay when you get to the hotel. And so this airport, we're at the bottom floor. We have to go to the top floor to get on the road for the shuttle to come pick us up. So I'm in this pickup sketch van. I mean, it looked like the ones we see in the streets, the ones that are like, they look like they're about to kidnap somebody. That's the van that came to pick us up. And I'm already like, this sounds like a bad idea. And I'm in the car. It's me, this Pakistani dude, this Indian guy behind me, a mother and her two kids. And I'm just like, oh God, this just doesn't, this screams sketch. We get to this hotel that looked like it was literally on a strip. There was food places and I was like, okay, but the hotel just looked very, I personally wouldn't stay in it, like real life. I wouldn't stay in a hotel like that, but I just kind of was like, I need somewhere to sleep. And I give the guy my passport and the little lady who helped us said, we can take you to the airport in the morning. And I said, awesome, great. Because at this time, I don't have DD. My phone does not work without Wi-Fi, period. And I'm like, okay. She's like, we can pick you up in the morning. What time is your flight? I tell her what time my flight is. And she said, we'll be here about 2 hours prior. So I said, okay. I dropped my bags. I call Chira, tell him that I'm here. And, you know, I call my mom and da, 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 da. So I was like, I'm hungry. So I leave my little suite hotel type situation, and I walk all up and down the street, and everybody on that street spoke English. There was a lot of different people. It didn't seem like China to me, right? And prior to getting here, the only bit of Chinese I knew was 1 to 10 and hello and goodbye. That was it. And so I just was like, all right, whatever. So I was like, you know what? I'm hungry, but I'm not that hungry. I was like, well, we're in China. Let's have some noodles, right? The guy missing an eye and looking at me crazy. And I'm just like, oh, God, I just want some noodles. So I'm pointing to the noodles, gives me the noodles. He tells me how much it is. I give him the money. And I go back to my hotel. I eat my noodles. I take a shower. And it's time for me to take – at this time, I fall asleep. Wake up extremely early. I think I was up at like 3 a.m., showered again, packed up my stuff, repacked it so that way the weight is not a problem. And then I go down to the lobby. The shuttle guy is not here. And I'm like, oh, okay. You were supposed to be here 2 hours before, and I'm low-key kind of late. So it's like, okay, fine. They call the guy. The guy got stuck in traffic. Mind you, it's like 3-4 in the morning. I don't know what kind of traffic you're stuck in, but whatever, player. And he comes to the hotel, and he's like, oh, we have to wait for one other person. I'm like, I'm not going to miss my flight for anybody. So can we hurry this up? They call the guy's room. The guy was literally on the way down the stairs. Cool. Great. We both get in this cab, this sketchy van, part two, and we drive. And like I said, the hotel to the airport was about a 10-minute drive. Y'all, this homie charged me about 150 kwai. And in real life, I would not pay that for a 10-minute ride. I pay that in Beijing for an hour ride from the airport to my hotel. I paid about 150, 160 kwai. Charged me 150. And I literally was like, 150? First of all, most shuttles at airports, they're free. And if they charge, they would tell you. I was like, I just was like, here, just take it. I just need to get to the airport. $150 translates to about $20, which, like I said, in real life, I would not pay that. I'm not paying 20. I'm not paying 150 for 10 minutes. I'm just not doing that. So, but I didn't know any better. And so, and I think he knew I didn't know any better, because had I known, like, I would have been like, I'm not paying that. No. And I was like, I've been scammed. I literally have been scammed. And at this point, I didn't give a fuck. I just was ready to go. I get out of the car. I get my bags. Time to go, you know. The lines are not, the airport is open, but the gates are not open. They're not opening till 6. And I'm just like, what the hell? So I'm literally just, you know, kind of tooting around, shooting the shit. 6 o'clock shoots up. And out of nowhere, this line gets just like massively long. And literally, I'm like, okay, because when I got to the airport, it was kind of quiet. And then like 6 o'clock, it seemed like just the roaches just came out of nowhere. Like, you know, when you flip on the light, the roaches run away. When you turn the lights off, all the roaches kind of come. That's literally how it felt. It just literally felt like, where are all these people coming from? And so I just was like, okay, I just need to get my passport. I just need to check my bags. I stand in this line for about what seems to be like forever. I stand in line. Guy tells me I'm in the wrong line. I need to go to the foreigner line. I go to the foreigner line. Oh, you have to go to this other line because you're checking bags. So y'all, I hopped to like for like three different lines, right? We get to the line, finally. My flight is supposed to be leaving at like 7:40. It's like now 7:15. I have not checked my bags. This line is long as hell. And they made an announcement. They're like, if you're going to Xi'an, you need to be in this line. I'm like, Jesus Lord. So the guy takes me because he could see that I'm. And so I was like, well, it is what it is. But I was like, I know I can't miss my flight. And the next thing I know, I drop my bags. My bags get flagged. And I'm like, for fucking what, man? Literally, that's what I was saying. For freaking what? So we go, they take me to this back room and they ask me to open my bag and they search my bag. Guess what gets flagged, y'all? Shaving cream that Shira asked me to bring for him because he forgot his. Shaving cream. My bag got flagged for shaving cream. I was so mad, and now I'm looking at this time. It's 7:20, and they have to now rescan my bag. And once they got the okay, I had to run to my gate. And it's literally, I had to run all the way down and then take the escalator all the way downstairs and get, I was like, literally, I'm panting for breath. I get on this flight, and y'all, this flight definitely made me say, I'm in China, because it was a straight Chinese flight. There was no there was no variation in color. There was no, this whole entire flight is Chinese. And I'm like, I'm in China. Because Shanghai, I didn't feel like I was in China. I got on that plane to go to Xi'an, which Xi'an is kind of sort of an international city. I was like, I'm in China. We get to Xi'an. I go meet my boss who picks me up. And my boss doesn't speak the greatest of English. Like, it's very, very choppy. And so we had to rely on the translator. But she had her boyfriend, who's a professor, come with us. And he kind of did most of the translating. So she took me out to this, like, you know, she's like, we're going to take you to lunch and then you're going to go rest, have a rest. They like to say that, have a rest. This is, that's what they're saying here. And you're going to have a rest and then we'll pick you up for dinner. I said, okay. We get to Xi'an, and Xi'an honestly reminded me of like downtown Chicago, like Michigan Avenue, Millennium Park, like that whole entire area. And I was like, okay. And I'm walking around, and the hotel she put me up in was literally downtown on the 24th floor, overlooking the city. Like, everything was gold plated, and it was just like, woo. I felt like, okay. I was like, hey. So she takes me to this restaurant. I mean, it's in the mall, and it's like on the 6th floor, and like it's a rotating restaurant. So the restaurant kind of like rotates, and I'm just like, oh, we fancy out here. Okay. We eat, and I'm telling you, in China, these folks eat. It's not like you can do your one little plate and everything. They keep having more stuff brought to you. So I tried, you know, Peking duck. I tried, you know, some kind of chicken. I think it was chicken neck or something. I don't know. But we'll get back to you on that episode.
Hello, if you're just tuning into our episode, we are recounting my 36 hours in China. And so I left off talking about kind of Xi'an, kind of where I was in Xi'an. And so we'll go ahead and just continue that story. So I was in Xi'an loving life. I was loving the atmosphere and everything that went along with being in Xi'an. And so I had to go get a medical check. And usually they said the medical check is going to take
30 minutes. So I was like, all right, cool. It's early in the morning. This thing lasted for almost 2.5 hours. Why? Because these people could not find a vein. Why? Because I have not had a good night's sleep. I'm super dehydrated. I've been drinking. I have not, like, literally my body was just going through a lot. And that I was like, you ain't getting no vein. So Chinese people like to think hot water solves everything, including climate change. That's no shade, but literally you have a headache, hot water. You have a sore throat, hot water. You don't feel good, hot water. So literally I was drinking hot water for almost 30 minutes. They managed to find a vein. Once they found the vein, I circled through the rest of the procedures, which was an ultrasound, X-ray, a CT scan. Like, I mean, the whole nine yards. Blood pressure, weight, height, weight, urine, hair follicle. Yeah. So we left. They told us to go get some juice to regulate, to kind of get our sugar back up. So I was like, I love this city. And my boss said, oh, the city is okay, but the air is not the greatest. And I said, well, buy a mask. It's literally my mood. And so she was like, well, we're going to go ahead and go grab dinner. And then we're going to take the train back to the city. The city's called Yan'an. So I was like, all right, whatever. We pack my bags. We go to the train. And at this point, everyone is kind of staring at me. And that's when I started to really notice people staring and trying to do the slick, I'm not taking a picture of you, but I am thing. And I said, okay, well, we'll see how that happens. And so we get on the train, and I just remember looking outside, and I just remember, like, seeing this pretty scenery, and then remember getting on the train and just seeing the train go into, like, the mountains and, like, ruin areas. Like, oh, it was horrible what I was seeing. The houses look ran down, like 80, 90 years old, ran down. Not like a historical situation, but, like, the house took its turn. And so what ended up happening is we get off the train, and I just remember smelling this stench, and I was like, what did I get myself into? I'm like, I think I want to go home. And I just was like, okay, well, that's fine. So my boss's sister comes, picks us up in this really cute car, Mercedes truck, and she drives me to we call here the new city. So the new city is where the police station is, which they have to register me. And so we go to the police station, and the new city looks really nice, very modern, very nice, I should say. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this is where I'm going to live. Maybe, like, you know, some cities, it's like you see, like, really bad parts, and then you see really good parts, and you see kind of in between. That's kind of where I was thinking. So I was like, oh, I had to drive past the kind of ran down part to get to, like, the nice part of town. And I'm like, well, if you charge an arm and a leg, you're going to be in the new city. You know, these parents are rich, X, Y, and Z. And she said, so we finish up our registration. And then she said, okay, we're going to take you to your apartment. You're going to go ahead and just kind of settle down, and then we have dinner tonight. I said, all right. Well, we get in the car and we start driving away from the new city back to, like, the ruined, ran down part. And I said, where are we going? And she's like, oh, we're going to go to your apartment. And I was like, oh, and already I was like, oh God, I don't even know. We get to close to school, and I remember having a conversation with Cheer about the two teachers that were here prior to us, that they scurried in the middle of the night, that they lived here. And I remember him telling me, oh, these flights of stairs are a nightmare because their unit was all the way at the top on the 7th floor. And for some reason, these people here do not believe in elevators. Why? I don't know. So I remember getting out of the car. I remember being greeted by like 6 or 7 Chinese teachers in their little Peppa Pig sweatshirt. And I just remember, I hope she don't got me wearing this damn bright ass bubblegum pink Peppa Pig shirt. Cause I'm not. I'm not. And they get my suitcases and we go up what's perceived to be the 7 flights of stairs. So already I was like annoyed because I was told I was going to get a new apartment. So this is not new. I get into this apartment. I don't like, it's big and it's spacious, but I don't like it. Like, I don't like the shower area. I don't like the bathroom area. And then apparently they didn't clean it well enough because the refrigerator had this awful smell that I was like, no. So I remember getting on the phone with Chira because he's like, where are you? And I told him, oh, I think I'm at such and such's old apartment. And he's like, okay, I know where that is. I'll be there shortly. So he gets there, and you would think after not seeing him for like a couple of months that I would be like all happy and, you know, ready to jump on him. No, y'all, I had the worst attitude. I was mad as hell. I didn't want to be bothered, let alone be touched. So you definitely could, you know, understand. And so he's like, what's wrong with you? I explained to him, I was told I was getting a new apartment. Y'all put me in this place and I don't like it. And he's like, well, did you say something? I said, no, I didn't say anything. Cause I feel like if I say something, I'm literally going to snap. And so if I'd rather just cool myself down and be able to, tell them, you know, when I've calmed down and look at things objectively. So my teacher called, my boss calls us and says, oh, can you guys come outside? We're going to go to dinner. Mind you, at this point, I don't even want dinner. I don't want nothing. I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to be bothered. I really am just not, I'm just not interested. And so we go to this place that's probably from my house to the place is like a 2-3 minute walk. It's this place that serves hot pot. Hot pot is like pretty much they bring you like a bunch of different food and you cook it for yourself. It's a popular thing to do in China. But at this point, I didn't really care. I didn't want to be bothered. And so I just asked my boss, I said, okay, when do you want me to come to school tomorrow? And she's like, okay, try to be there between 8 and 8:30, and then they'll give you your schedule and et cetera. Okay, cool. So I go home, I go to sleep, wash it off, you know, sleep it off. And I was like, I'm going to walk to school. I'm going to have a better attitude. So I get to school. I don't know where I'm going, but everybody spots me. So everyone's like, oh, we know you're the new teacher. And I just remember sitting in this office, kind of like chilling. And I said, okay, that's cool. They gave me the book and they tell me this is kind of what the kids are learning. And then they give me like their storybooks and stuff like that. So to me, when I hear storybooks, I hear storybooks as in story time. For those of you guys who have taught like pre-K, even kindergarten, yeah, you just think, you know, storybooks, you're going to read it to the kids. So they're like, oh, this week you're not going to teach. You're just going to kind of shadow teachers. And then next week you'll officially start your classes. Okay, that's fine. So I go in class and they have actually Chiro teaching the class. And so I'm watching him and I'm kind of just observing and kind of making some, you know, mental notes here and there. And then 25 minutes in, the kids get a potty break.
And the kids come back and they resettle and they're like, oh, Sammy, it's your turn to teach. What? Y'all. When I tell you, my face was like, excuse me? They're like, yeah, you're going to teach today. I said, I literally was told that this week I am shadowing. So they're like, oh, no, you're going to actually teach. Mind you, the kids don't even know my name. I don't know the kid's name. I don't know where their English level is. I know zero. And so at this point, I'm annoyed. I'm frustrated. And I'm like, well, let me just play a quick little game with them. And there was like 18 kids, 17 or 18 kids. And I said, trying to get them to play a game, but they don't understand me. I don't understand them. I don't even know my co-teacher's name to help me kind of get these kids in order. And I just remember my boss sitting there, like literally anything that can go wrong went wrong in terms of my little lesson. So my boss, after the whole thing is done, I just feel like I wanted to cry. I wanted to just say F this entire operation. And I remember her telling somebody in Chinese that, oh, this is a bad teacher. And I just remember feeling like, whoa, what? And they translated it to me. She's like, oh, she says you're a bad teacher because, you know, the kids were very naughty and misbehaved. And I said, the kids don't even know who I am. They're just like, who are you? So I don't even know anything. You guys just threw me in there. I'm trying to like defend myself at this point because I'm just like, what the hell? How are you going to tell me I'm a bad teacher? And I literally have everything bad happen to me. And it's one thing, and for all my teachers out there, y'all probably will know this. It's one thing to teach in a country or in a situation where everybody can understand each other. It's another added layer when you're in a classroom and the kids barely understand you and you barely understand them. It makes for the teaching to be quite difficult. And I just remember being like, oh my God. And she's just like, well, you just need to do better. So instead of like me just getting ready to snap, I just said, okay, fine, whatever. I remember going back to my apartment. I remember calling my agent and I remember telling her I was pissed off about the apartment. So she managed to contact my boss and they got us situated and they got me moved, which this apartment I have a love-hate relationship with. But it's comfortable. It's still close to school and it's a lot bigger. And yeah, but I'm not in love with it. But yeah, oh Lord. Yeah, the first week it just was very challenging. Actually, I'm not even gonna lie to you guys. The first semester being here was very challenging for me because it was just anywhere I turned, there was a problem. And so it became very discouraging. And because the way things are taught here, which I'm not going to go into too much detail because that's actually my next episode, the way things are done here are just a lot differently. But that concludes this episode about my first 36 hours in China. I hope you guys laughed. I hope you guys learned some things. And I got some good laughs out of it. I definitely am sitting here, you know, being nostalgic, like, oh my gosh. That's so crazy. But yes, thank you for staying tuned and listening to What's the Chinese Tea. I'm your host, Sammy Chimanga. Until next time, keep sipping some tea.